Our text for this morning is the second reading, Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. I share with you again these words. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Dear Christian friends, you know that this last week our nation remembered Veterans Day. And veterans themselves, surely on this day, remembered their time of service. One of the things that's probably not too hard to remember, especially for those who did a lot of it, is time spent marching. There may be a lot of marching that has been done in military service. And so picture a marching formation. And what happens if someone is out of step, or slowing down, or lagging behind? It interferes with the whole group. This makes me wonder if marching in formation is not just an orderly way to get a bunch of people from one place to another, but actually practice and learning that if one is slacking, it affects all the rest. In the same way, when one is tired, being with a group that is stepping right along helps you to keep up the pace. Well, in our text, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, who I'm sure had seen their share of Roman troops marching through this transportation center that was Thessalonica. And here in our text, he repeatedly calls those he's writing to brothers, reminding them that they are part of a group, and encouraging them here to keep up the pace. As we look at our text, we see his encouragement to keep going as the gospel runs. Don't be weary and walk out of line. Instead, follow in faith as Jesus leads the way. Let's think first about his encouragement to keep going as the gospel runs. He writes, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith." Imagine, if you can, you're running in a race. And if you've run in a race, it's easier to imagine. And you see the finish line ahead. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, "Oh, boy, I know I'm going to make it now so I can stop and start walking"? Or are you the one kind of person to say, "You know, now I'm going to run, maybe even sprint, and finish strong"? When Paul writes verse 1 about the word of the Lord speeding ahead, the word he uses for speeding ahead is literally run. Paul is writing to those who think that they are seeing the finish line. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul had written back to this church that he had founded, urging them in the face of persecution to remain faithful, and assuring them that those who had already died, they were going to see again, because Christ was surely going to return and raise the living and the dead. But when he heard back from the Thessalonians, he found that his words had had the opposite of the intended effect. Some had decided to stop doing anything and just sit and wait for this return of Christ that he was talking about. So now in this second letter that he quickly writes, he says, no, as we heard last week in last week's reading, Jesus hasn't come yet. It's not time to sit around. There's things to do. Now, it is true that if we have faith in Jesus, we are ready for heaven. Jesus has done everything that is necessary for us to be saved. So why are we still here? If we are still here, it is either because God has more to do for us yet, or more for us to do. We are runners in a relay race. The important thing is not just we finish the race and get to heaven, but that we pass on the baton to others. So, even before encouraging the Thessalonians to keep going, Paul writes in verse 1, pray for us that we can keep going, that the word of the Lord may run, that may speed ahead as we pass it on. As we think today, especially members of the congregation, about our plan for spiritual life, we're reminded that what we want to do is not just hold on to the faith ourselves until Jesus comes again, but to do things so that the word of the Lord may run, that it may speed ahead and be shared with others who urgently need it. For this, we need not just our plans, but we need prayers for God's help, as Paul puts it, to be delivered from the wicked, which includes the devil. The word here for wicked means literally outrageously inappropriate, or like one who is out of line, like a soldier who breaks ranks, or a worker on an assembly line who throws a monkey wrench into everything. So, after asking for prayer for himself, Paul goes on, don't be weary and walk out of line. He writes, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Just this last Thursday, students from our school participated in an event sponsored by our church district, packing food for the starving. The food they packed is going to be going to Haiti, we found out. And so the students, young and old, they worked in teams. There were four of them scooping various ingredients and some holding the bags and sealing the bags and one thing and another. It was easy to see when they were working together like this that if one started daydreaming, the whole operation got thrown out of whack. This is why Paul is writing here about those walking in idleness, which can also be translated walking in disorderliness. It throws everything out of order. It holds everything up. So these are not just those who are not busy working, are not just wasting their own time. They're busy bodies who are interfering with everybody else too. As part of the body of Christ, we also are a team. We have work to do. God provides all that we need in this world for physical life, but he intends for us to work in order to benefit from it. In the same way, God provides everything in his word that we need for spiritual life. But God intends for us to work at getting the most out of it in our worship, in Bible study, and in devotions. There are various things, however, that can cause us to become weary in doing good. For the Thessalonians, thinking of Christ's return made them feel like, it's Friday, I'm ready to be done. Others may feel, oh, I've been doing this for so long, or I am so old, and I've done this so many times before, I'm getting tired of the same old, same old. We may easily hear words whispering to us, negative self-talk. You know, this job that God has given you, or this spiritual self-discipline, it's too hard for you. You don't have the right abilities. You're not very good at it. Surely somebody else would do this better. Or we may feel ineffective. What good is it doing? It isn't making a difference. Or you're unappreciated. Maybe you look at others and you say, oh, they've got more success. Or you see others who are not working as hard as you. Both are discouraging. Do you hear these voices? I hear these voices. Who is that? That's the devil talking to us. We don't want to listen to him. Plenty of things can make each of us weary in doing good and make us stumble or stop or get out of line, which gets in the way of others around us as well. But Paul puts up a sign that you sometimes see on busy streets. No stopping here. This is not the time or the place to quit or idle. Instead, follow in faith as Jesus leads the way. Paul writes, "The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate." Paul reminds him here of how he worked when he was there in Thessalonica. It was not that he was trying to do everything for them. This is something that church leaders need to watch out for. And it is not that he didn't have the right or the authority to ask them to do anything, but it was to lead by example. Being busy leading the way as opposed to those who are getting in the way. We also can all encourage others by our examples. But as he says in another place, by following his example, they're not just following him. His example is intended to be a picture pointing us to see Christ. Everything that we do is intended to point to Christ. Because no matter how hard we work, or don't work, everything depends on what Christ does for us. Paul contradicts that negative self-talk in verse 4. He says, "We have confidence about you." Our confidence is not in you. Our confidence is in the Lord. He is the one who is faithful. He will establish and he will guard you. And so our motivation is this in verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Now, that might be the love we have for God and the steadfastness that Christ gives us, but especially it's talking about the love that God has for us and the steadfastness of Christ. We can keep working because God is still working. It certainly appeared that Jesus was a failure in wasting his time when his disciples dropped off one at a time and he was left standing in front of an accusing crowd. But he was steadfast and he continued what he came to do by dying for us on the cross, surrounded by unappreciative people, even as he called for their forgiveness. But it was not all for nothing. He rose from the dead just as he promised. He is coming again in victory, as he promised. Paul assures us of that. Meanwhile, he continues to faithfully hold this broken world together and to attentively listen to and answer our prayers. Meanwhile, his living word and his powerful sacraments are effective in causing and strengthening faith, our faith. Yes, we fail and we fall, but Jesus continues to pick us up every day with his forgiveness and set us going again. God is still working as hard as ever every day. He can be depended on to supply our every need, to do what he intends for us to do. He himself is the one who's responsible for the results, causing our obedient efforts to be successful. And he has promised eternal rewards by his grace, not based on what we accomplish, but based on what he has already accomplished for us. And no one can take away. This is why we keep on going and keep on doing all we do in our work and in our worship. First, to keep on receiving all that God is giving to us, and then to use all that God gives us to do what he has given us to do, sharing with those who need it. So, Paul encourages us, keep going as the gospel runs. Keep passing on that baton of God's word, because not all have faith. And don't be weary or walk out of line. Don't stop now. Don't get tripped up or get in the way because of false or failed expectations. Instead, follow in faith as Jesus leads the way. Keep looking at what God continues to do because of the love and the steadfastness of Christ, who continues to work for us and in us and through us until he does indeed come at that last day. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.